You're listening to Feminist Current, making waves in the mainstream.
Let me clear space for you to sit beside me. You don't need your back against the wall.
You are listening to Feminist Current. I'm Megan Murphy. Today on the show, I'll be speaking with Holly Griggs Spall, the author of Sweetening the Pill, or How We Got Hooked on Hormonal Birth Control. In it, she looks at women's experiences with the birth control pill, asking why, while millions of women take it every single day, few really know how this drug works or the potential side effects. I spoke with her over the phone from Los Angeles. Here is that interview.
I wonder if you can talk about when and why you first became interested in researching hormonal contraception.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I think it really, for me, it began when I had a particularly bad experience on Yasmin, which is one very popular at the time brand of pill. And it was the fourth kind of pill I tried over about 10 years. And I started to research this one brand, and from there my research expanded. And I actually ended up, as a journalist, I pitched a piece titled What You Should Know About the Pill to a magazine called Easy Living, and I conducted an interview with Dr. Cynthia Graham. At the base, though, I really wanted to discover for myself why Yasmin had caused me to feel as terrible physically and psychologically as it did. I kind of personally really needed to understand how something that I had previously considered so harmless, or perhaps not really even considered at all, I'd just kind of taken it every day and given it very little thought, how something like that had had such an impact on me.
I found your work interesting, in this book interesting, because on a personal level, like, I've tried lots of different kinds of hormonal birth control over, you know, probably about 10 years or so. And I've never really had a positive experience with it. And, you know, I don't plan on having children, but I'm also not on the pill right now, and I'm never going to go on the pill again, probably. I mean, never say never, but I don't plan on ever going on the pill ever again because of those negative experiences. So I wonder if you can talk about some of the more impactful or troubling stories you heard from women when you were doing interviews and research with regard to their experiences with hormonal contraception.
Yes, and it's interesting because I had a very similar experience, and I also pretty much don't think I want at least my own biological children in my lifetime. And often when you discuss, it's just an interesting point you've made there, because often when you discuss coming off the pill, people assume you're what they call pregnancy ambivalent. And actually, there are a lot of us who really aren't mm-hmm. and do need effective birth control. But yes, in terms of the stories that I've heard, I think there's kind of two categories, I would say. I think the first story I ever heard as I started working in this area that truly affected me was the woman who described her experience of coming off the pill after 10 years as an awakening and life-changing. And she is a textile designer, and she felt her creativity had been really seriously suppressed when she was on the pill. And she noticed a real, noticeably, you know, a marked difference when she came off. Other women had also started telling me after, you know, I got that story and I wrote the blog, that they felt that transitioning off the pill was like going from living in black and white to colour, and so they felt more engaged and present and connected to the world and others. And at the time that really struck me, and now I'm off the pill and have been for some years, these stories really resonate with me. And then I think on the other category, on the other side of the coin, in terms of impactful stories, are the ones from women who have really been driven to the brink by the psychological impact of hormonal birth control, which is the side effects that I experienced with Yasmin very severely, and what I really was very interested in early on. And, you know, these are women who developed agoraphobia, severe relationship OCD, even had suicidal thoughts. And, you know, women who've seen, you know, their lives ruined by this. And I do actually frequently get emails from women who share their whole story, basically, from start to finish. And I think it just makes them feel a bit better to tell somebody, and you know, obviously they feel validated, I think, by hearing that other women have had similar experiences, and just to know that what they went through isn't all in their heads, and that it was down to the pill that they were taking rather than down to them, as they'd suspected all along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't experience anything super severe, but what I experienced was things like extreme mood swings and kind of feeling crazy and really a loss of libido, which after I started talking to other women, I started learning that that wasn't just my own personal experience and that there were actual correlations between those experiences and the pill. But I wonder if, you know, aside from just hearing these stories, which, you know, of course, women's experiences and stories are valuable and valid, but is there research to back up this kind of thing?
Well, there hasn't been enough research conducted, and I think there ought to be much more. Obviously, the kind of research into especially psychological side effects that would be necessary would involve a large amount of women followed over long periods of time. And that takes a lot of financial backing. And, you know, these kind of side effects are not researched into for a number of reasons, partly, I think, to do with a gender bias in the medical industry, partly to do with the pharmaceutical industry's influence, and partly because, you know, I've been generally seeing taking hormonal contraception is seen as a good compromise, regardless of those kind of side effects that women might experience. So there isn't enough, but there is a very interesting range of studies being done out of Monash University in Australia by a woman called Dr. Kulkarni. And she's doing studies within her clinic, but also more widely as a questionnaire online worldwide. And she's coming up with some interesting research on psychological side effects of the pill. And the handful of studies that there has been have suggested maybe half of women feel they experience negative mood changes because of the pill. But obviously, you know, that's maybe five or six studies that I've been able to get hold of.
And, you know, it's tough because on one hand, the birth control pill is viewed as and held up as a source of liberation for women, and it has been in many, many ways. I mean, the ability to control our own reproduction and to choose if and when we want to get pregnant is huge. But at the same time, sometimes I feel like hormonal birth control hasn't been treated to a fair critique from the feminist movement. And then, of course, there's also that issue of the role of big pharma in the selling of various hormonal drugs for women. And, you know, I don't want to go with that idea that says, you know, natural is better, because, you know, what does natural mean? But, you know, I don't think that prescription pills are necessarily good or necessarily bad. But I think sometimes women aren't fully informed about their choices. And sometimes the pill is presented as the only option in terms of birth control for women. I wonder if you can comment on that a bit, particularly the role of big pharma. And, I mean, is your argument that natural is better and that prescription pills or hormonal birth control is simply not good in terms of options?
I think just to address the feminism and you know, the critique side of it to begin with, I think that my book kind of presents the idea that we've come to see the pill as synonymous with women's liberation, but I'm saying that it's in fact perhaps actually very much a part of the capitalist patriarchal social structure and an extension of the misogyny that's been present in the medical industry for a very long time. So I think, you know, I'm trying to present the idea that there's an ideological connection between feminism, women's liberation, and the pill that prevents us from speaking honestly about the pill. And so you kind of get that view of like being critical of the pill as kind of being a bad feminist in a way. And I think, you know, that's part of it. And I don't think my argument is in the book at all that natural is good and unnatural is bad. And I don't think, you know, that goes really back to the arguments of essentialism. And I'm not trying to tie women's ability to reproduce to their roles and identities in the sense that I'm actually trying to say that women's reproductive cycles are about more than reproduction, and that the cycle serves a purpose beyond pregnancy and beyond producing a baby. And I think I'm actually trying to fight against the idea that women's reproductive systems are only useful and important in terms of pregnancy. You know, I think when you talk about, like, the natural equals good, our natural equals bad argument, that I think I have a lot of issues with the pill, and that's what I write about in the book, but none of them are kind of rooted in this idea of unnatural being bad. My argument's more in line. I guess the best way to look at it might be to consider the breastfeeding discussion as an example. And, you know, we're seeing more and more widely acknowledged that it might be healthier for the baby that a baby's breastfed, and that might be beneficial for the baby's health in a lot of ways. And, you know, in the same way, we might discuss how, you know, it's important, for example, to get 8 to 9 hours sleep a night in terms of our health. So really my discussion of the pill is more to do with the women's health aspects and what happens when you suppress ovulation long term, what happens when you suppress the menstrual cycle, what happens when you give healthy women with normal, healthy biological functions a very powerful drug that they often take for a long period of their lives and medicalize these functions as standard.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the big pharma connection. I mean, obviously, pharmaceuticals or the pharmaceutical industry is a really huge industry.
I think, obviously, it produces the pills and devices that we're the hormonal pills and devices that we're talking about, and makes a profit off of selling them to women. And it's a billion-dollar industry. We do tend to forget that the pill is a product, and that we are consumers, and that goes for all other hormonal devices too, whether that's the arena or the implant or the shot. And I think we also forget that the pharmaceutical industry is fundamentally driven by money, to make money. It's not driven to serve the best interests and needs of women. If those two things happen to cross over, great, they win. But otherwise, you know, the general motivation is to make money, as it is with any other corporate system. So I think if we think about it that way, we should always have a critical eye on what that industry presents to us. And you know, we also ought to always keep in mind that the pharmaceutical industry has an influence on your doctor that you go and see to discuss these issues. And that doesn't matter whether you're in a for-profit healthcare system or a nationalized healthcare system. There is an influence to an extent across the board. And that's on what research they get to see in terms of what's published and what gets to their desk, on the free samples that they're given to hand out, on what drugs they will recommend, on what they don't recommend for birth control. And it's even been shown that something as simple as getting a pen from a drug representative with the brand name on that pen actually has an influence on how the doctor thinks about the drug. So that influence is very pervasive. And I think, you know, we sort of forget, first of all, that we, you know, it's a product and we should be as vigilant about it, this product as any other product that's being sold to us for the purpose of making money, but also that it is affecting in very insidious ways a lot of our ways that we have the relationships that we have with our care providers and our health practitioners.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, as we mentioned earlier, the fact that women are no longer really enslaved